Okay, today's daf is Brachot Daf Mem Hey, the beginning of the seventh perek. The seventh perek deals with making a mezumin. A mezumin, which we're all familiar with, is a statement that three people who ate together are going to make a bracha together. So even though they make their bracha independently afterward, they make a kind of a verbal statement initially to say that we're all essentially making a bracha biyachad, together. And that's what a mezumin is. Shlosha she'achol ke'echad chayavin lezamen. So any three people who ate together need to make a mezumin afterward. Achal demai u'maisa rishon shenatat u'matro maser sheni ve'hekdeh shenif tov ha'shamesh she'achol kezayet ve'akuti mezamnin alav. Okay. We're about to bring in a number of cases that you may have had a question, a suffix, as to whether or not it was appropriate to make a mezumin in these cases, because if you ate something that you weren't allowed to eat, you don't make a mezumin on it, right? If you sat down and ate non-kosher, you don't make a mezumin on it. It sounds funny, but it's important to know, if you ate an iser, you don't make a mezumin on it. So we're going to mention a number of things that they are karov le'iser. There's something wrong with them, but it doesn't constitute a proper iser achila. And so, we're going to say that by those things, you still make a mezumin, even though there's something a little bit wrong, it's not wrong enough. To be able to understand what exactly those things are, we need to go through just the basics of giving trumot and maaserot. So we spoke about some of the ideas beforehand. I'm just going to give a quick overview. After you take in all of your produce, you have to take 2% of that produce on average. Oh, it's about a 50th. You could take a 40th or a 60th. That's within the realms of legitimacy. But it's roughly a 50th that you take. That is called truma. Right? You give that to the Kohen, and that food has kedusha. It's holy, and no one else but the Kohen is allowed to eat from it. It's 2% of your produce. Before you take that, all of your produce is considered tevel. After you take it, it's proper food that you're allowed to eat. Now, if you don't know whether someone took his trumot and maaserot, that food is called demai. It's got a suffix status as to whether or not it's food that you can eat, or whether it is tevel. Amaratzim, so there are people who are not expert in the halachas or known not to keep every halacha, are suspect when it comes to separating trumot and maaserot, that we just don't trust that they did. They may have, but we just can't take their word for it. So we are machmir, we're stringent to separate our trumot and maaserot for ourselves from what the Amaratzim sell to us. That food is called demai. So we have all your food that you bring in, that's tevel. You separate 2%, that's truma, it's kadosh, it can only be eaten by the kohen. Right? If you don't know if someone separated truma, that's called demai. What happens next? From the remaining 98% of your food, you separate what's called maaser rishon, the first tithe. That is 10% of your produce, of what you have left, of the 98% that you had left, and that goes to the levi. Now, it's important to note that that food can be eaten by anyone, it's just the money of a levi. A levi is allowed to let other people eat that food with him, it's just his property, but it doesn't have that inherent status of kedusha. So that 10% of your produce, or of your remaining 98% of your produce, goes to the levi. At which point the levi needs to give truma, because that's where his food comes from, but he also has the obligation of truma. Except the levi's truma that he gives from the maaser he just received is not 2% like you gave to the Kohen, rather it's 10%, because he has to basically give more because he doesn't have to give anything else. So he gives 10% of what you gave him to the Kohen, which is 1% of what you had left after you took truma, right? That's the levi's, what the levi gives to the Kohen, that's called truma maaser. And then you have maaser sheni, the second maaser. The second maaser is, it depends. The second maaser in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year is kadosh, but it's still yours. So you bring that to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And that's the din by maaser sheni. Right? However, in the third and in the sixth year, that is called maaser ani. It's no longer yours and must be given to the poor. But let's say you're in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year. So the second tithe is maaser sheni. It still belongs to you. It must be eaten, however, in Yerushalayim. And you don't want to bring it all to Yerushalayim because it's a burden. There's a lot of food there. Then you can redeem that produce with money. You pay opposite that amount of produce. Then you can keep the produce. And then you bring that money into Yerushalayim and buy produce there. However, there is a law that if you're doing that, there's a halacha that you need to add an additional fifth. So let's say you have $100 worth of produce, without getting into the detailed machloket. Let's say that you have to pay $120, spend $120 in Yerushalayim on food. Add an additional fifth to what you to what your Maaser Sheni was originally valued at. Right? That is just a rough overview of Trumot and Maaser. Now we can understand what the Mishnah is talking about. So if you ate Demai, right? You're Suffolk, you're not sure if this was Tevil. It may have been perfectly fine. It may not have been. Or Maaser Rishon. Shenat la trumato. Or you ate maaser rishon that was given to the Levi, and the Levi took the truma from that maaser rishon. In which case, what's the problem? Doesn't that seem perfectly fine? No, because you gave the maaser to the Levi before the truma was taken from the Kohen. So it was taken at a time that it was really considered tevel. So that 2% had not yet been taken, and yet you took 10% of the produce that had not had truma taken from it, you gave it to the Levi. The Levi then took 10% of what you gave him and gave it to the Kohen, and then you ate from the remaining 90% of that 10%, and that is, so it had the truma and maaser taken from it, but didn't have truma gedola taken from it. Alternatively, you ate maaser sheni v'hekdesh, so the food that you can only eat in Yerushalayim unless you redeem it, or the food that was made consecrated to the Beit HaMikdash, sheniftu. But they were redeemed. They were redeemed, so you're allowed to eat them, except you didn't add the additional fifth. So that's the problem with this food. V'ashamash achal kezayit. Alternatively, a servant who ate a kezayit of food, right, he ate a minimum amount of food to be mitzaref to the mezumin. However, he didn't have permission to eat that food. Alternatively, hakuti, right, the kafian. Where did the kutim come from? When Assyria, when Ashur and Sennacherib exiled the 10 tribes, he had a brilliant war strategy. Instead of just exiling everyone, he relocated different nations to different areas, because people generally only feel a sense of nationalism to the land that they're from. So he wouldn't have as many rebellions if people had to defend a land that wasn't theirs. They weren't as interested. Now, what happened were there these people who now lived in the Shomron, and they weren't Jewish, but they kept being attacked. It's the first story in Melachim Bet. They were attacked by lions because they weren't keeping mitzvot in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So they converted in order to stop the attacks. They really converted out of duress to stop the attacks, and they only ever accepted the Torah Shebichtav and not the Torah Shebaal Peh. So as far as the Tanaim were concerned, there was a massive debate as to whether or not to consider their conversion proper and whether they were actually Jews. So for the purposes of this Mishnah, they're considered Jews, but in kind of a suffix status. The Amoraim later Paskin in Chulin, I believe, that they aren't considered Jews. That's the Kutim. In any of these cases, Mizamnin Alav, right? You are mitztaref that person who ate one of the things that he probably shouldn't have, but were not technically usher, or a servant who ate a kezayit without permission, or a kuti. In all those cases, you can join them into your mezumin. So you're two people, and that third person ate something he probably shouldn't have eaten. Even still, you can make a mezumin. However, achal tevel, if you ate food that truma was not separated from, umaser rishon, right, shalonat la trumato, or you ate the maaser that was given to the Levi, and the Levi never separated the truma and maaser from it, umaser sheni vehekdesh shalonifdu, or you ate maaser sheni that can only be in Yerushalayim unless it's redeemed, or hekdesh which belongs to the mikdash unless it's redeemed, and they weren't redeemed, vashamash achal pachod mekezayit. Or a servant who ate less than a kezayit of food, v'hanochri, or a full-blown non-Jew, ein mizamnin alav. You can't be mitzaref them to your mizamin. Nashim v'avadim utanim, ein mizamnin alav. And if you're two men, you cannot join in a woman or a child or a slave to your mizamin. Ad kama mizamnin, and how much do you eat in order to make a mizamin? Ad kezayit. You have to have at least a kezayit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad kebeitza. Rabbi believes that you need to have a full kebeitza. Okay, after the Gemara. Minani mili. How do we know that a mezumin is three people? Amar Rav Asi, the Amar Kra, the Torah says, Gadlu Lashem Iti, Unramamo Shemo Yachdav. So, Gadlu is plural. So it sounds like one person is saying to two other people, glorify God's name with me. So if one person is saying to two people, because it's plural, then you need to have a minimum of three people in order to do something which is Romamah Shemo Yachdav, to elevate his name together. So that together constitutes a minimum of three people, because it's one person saying to two people that you're going to elevate God's name together. Rabbi Abba says, no, from here. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu, right? I'm going to call in the name of Hashem, and then you glorify His name. In which case, you have a minimum of three. How do we know that one who's saying Amen to a bracha shouldn't say it louder than the person made the bracha himself? Meaning, there's supposed to be a certain degree of togetherness with the person who's calling out in the name of Hashem, making the bracha, and the person who's responding and making the amen. So one person shouldn't be louder than the others. Right? When what used to happen in our communities, and what still happens in the Taimani communities, is that there you have a Baal Kori, the person reading from the Torah, and then a Meturgeman, someone who is translating into Targum Unklus, who says back and forth with the person reading the Torah. And so, how do we know the person who is being metargame, the Kriya, should not be reading that louder than the Baal Korah himself? Shenemar, Moshe de Berav Elokim Yanenu Bekol. Moshe is going to say it, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to respond, Bekol, in a voice. Shein Tamad Lomer Bekol. We had no reason to teach that word Bekol. Of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to respond in a voice. How else is going to respond? Umat Tamad Lomer Bekol. So why was the word Bekol taught? Bekol Shom Moshe. To say that it was on the same voice as Moshe, meaning not louder than Moshe. So it's inappropriate to respond in a louder voice than the Korah is saying it in. Tanar Miachi, similarly, right, the person translating is not allowed to raise his voice beyond that of the Baal Korah's voice. But if he cannot even say it as loud as the Baal Korah, right, the Baal Korah should be saying it more quietly, and then he reads the Torah in a more quiet voice, and the Meturgeman responds in the same voice. Itmar, it was stated, pligi rav v'rav Yochanan. What if two people ate together? Is that a mezumin? That's actually the subject of a machloki between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Amar imratu lezamin mezamin. Right? One says, yeah, they want to become mezumin, they're allowed to. Chad Amar imratu lezamin and mezamin. And one says, no, they're absolutely not allowed to. They're only two people. Tanan, we done Mishnah shlosha sha'achu ke'echad chayvin lezamin. Meaning our Mishnah said, three people who ate together, they have to make a mezumin. Shlosha in shnayim lo. That sounds like davka, three people make a mezumin, but two people do not make a mezumin. Hatam chova hacharashut. No, our Mishnah was teaching when three people are obligated to make, when people are obligated to make a mezumin. That's of three. But not when they're allowed to make a mezumin. Inachinami, they should be allowed to, even when it's two. You can't be medayik from our Mishnah. That was only talking about when they're obligated to. Tashma. Okay, then come learn proof from the following. Shlosha sha'achlu ke'echad chayvin lezamin. Three people who eat together have to make a mezumin, ve'ein rishayin lechalik, and are not allowed to break off. Shlosha in shenayim lo. That makes it sound like davka, three people make a mezumin, and not two people. And by the way, this is different than the previous. Proof that we just brought in. I mean, it sounds like we're making the exact same proof. Oh, the Mishnah said three and not two, and then we responded, yeah, that was for the Chova and not for Rishut. Here is actually not the same proof, even though it kind of sounds like a similar proof. Here, we're actually making a proof from the Seifa, because the Seifa says, the Ein Rishayin Lichalik, you're not allowed to break up. Three people are eating together, one person can't leave. Right? So, why can't that one person leave? If two people can make a mezumin just like three people can make a mezumin, then one person should be allowed to go and he's not causing any loss. Shani atam dekavu lahem chova mikara. No, that's a different case. Because he was with them initially, they're now obligated in a mezumin. Right? Two people are allowed to make a mezumin, but three people are obligated. He's with them initially, and now he is a part of the chiyuv to make the mezumin. That's why he can't leave. That's not to say that if it was two people, melechakfila, they couldn't make the mezumin. Tashma, okay, so come and learn from the following. Hashamish, shayam shamish, Hashamish she'ah mishamish al shnayim. So a servant, a waiter, who is bringing food to two people, hareze ochel imahem. He's allowed to eat with them. Afapi shelo nanu l'shut. Even though they didn't give him permission to eat with them, hayam mishamish al shlosha. But however, if he was a servant for three people, he was waiting on three people. Hareze eno ochel imahem. He's not allowed to eat with them. Elim kein not lo l'shut, unless they gave him permission to do so. What is the svara behind why he's allowed to eat even without their reshut? Because if they're just eating, the two of them, then they can't make a mezumin. In which case, he should be able to eat just so, because they would want to make a mezumin, right? They would. I mean, who wouldn't want to make a mezumin if they had the opportunity to? So he doesn't need to ask their permission. The mistama, they're going to let them eat. They're going to let him eat because they want to have a mezumin. However, if they already have three people, why would they want him to eat? They have no reason to do so. In which case, you can't assume that you're allowed to take a kazayat of food without their permission. In which case, it sounds like there's a big difference between two and three. If three people are eating together, you can't make that assumption. If two people are eating together, you can make that assumption. That makes it sound like three people make a mezumin, two people don't make a mezumin, and that's why they wanted the waiter to eat, even without asking their permission. Shani hatam, no, that's different. The nichalu, the mikvalu, bechova. they would rather make a mezumin when it's a chove than it's a reshut, right? Rashi points out, gadol ha-metuveh me'oseh mishein ha-metuveh oseh. It is better, it is qualitatively better to do a mitzvah when you are obligated in that mitzvah than if you are not obligated in that mitzvah. In which case, sure, they could have made a mezumin when there were two people, but they're obligated when there are three and they would rather that. And that's why they're going, that's why they don't mind that the waiter is taking food without asking them. If they already have three, though, they have no reason because they already have a chova. Tashma. Okay, so learn from here. Nashim mizamnot la'atzman. Women make a mezumin to themselves. Ve'avadim mizamni la'atzman. And slaves make a mezumin to themselves. Nashim mevadim miktanim im ratzu lezamin in mezumin. However, women, slaves, and children cannot join in a man's mezumin. Ve'ha man nashi ketre gavri damyan. But wait 1 second. Women do not have the obligation, at least the assumption of this Gemara is that women don't have the obligation to make the mezumin. In which case, two women for the purposes of having an obligation to mezumin, I'm sorry, 100 women for the purposes of having an obligation to make the mezumin are tantamount to two men. Meaning you can have 100 women, or in our case, 3 women and 2 men, neither of them have the obligation, and so they're all on the same playing field, and yet, v'katani nashim mezamnut la'atzman, v'vadim mezamnut la'atzman. And still, we taught that women should be making a mezumin to themselves. You have a group of 3 women who sit together, they should absolutely be making a mezumin. But if they don't have a chova, then 3 women is like 2 men who also don't have a chova. And yet we tell the 3 women to make a mezumin together, so maybe we should be telling the 2 men to make a mezumin together. This seems like a good raya that 2 men should be making a mezumin together, because 3 women should be making a mezumin together, and for all intents and purposes, for a mezumin is concerned, they're the same. Shani hatam de ika deot. No, you can't say that's the same thing, right? In Achinami, they don't have the same, they have the same level of chova. 100 women aren't obligated, just like 2 men aren't obligated. But there are still 3 people here. Meaning, for the purposes of an obligation, you're correct, there's no obligation here. But what did we say on the previous Amud? The reason you have to have 3 is because it's only appropriate to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in a group of 3. And there are 3 women here, so you have 3. Right? In which case, that's all you need. It doesn't matter whether there's a chova or not. So yes, in one aspect, 3 women are like 2 men, in which case there's no obligation, but you can't ignore the fact that they have 3 people here, and it's appropriate to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name with 3 people. So 3 women have the opportunity to praise God's name that 2 men don't have. But if that were the case, then you have a problem with the seifa of the Mishnah. We don't mitzaref women and slaves to a mezumin of men. But why not? If it's not about whether you have the chova, it's about whether you are a bal dat, whether you're a person who can praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then women should be joining in mezumin with men. Am I low? So why don't they join in? V'ha'ika deo. They have their baldat. Shaniyata mishum pritzuta. No. I mean, inachinami. Yeah, that would work. But we don't have men and women eating together. It's inappropriate to do so, and that's why they don't count for. That's why we don't join them into a mizumin. We don't want them eating together, not because they have a different status. Distaim the Rav damari ratzu lezamen in mizamnin. So okay, we have a good machloket here. It's Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on whether or not 2 or 3 can make a mizumin. Let's say that Rav is the one who holds that they cannot make a mezumin. Right? We had a machloki, we didn't say whose side was whose. Let's say that Rav is the one who says that they cannot make a mezumin together. The Amar Rav Dimi, Bar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav, because Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav, Shlosh Jachul Gachad V'yatzah Echamnim L'shu Korim Lo Mezumin Alav. Right? If 3 people are eating together and one of them goes outside, then you call to him and then you can make a mezumin. Right? You say, hey, we're ready to make the mezumin. He says, okay, I'm listening. Tama the Korim Lo, Halo Korim Lo, Lo. So because you called to him, you can make the mezumin. And if you didn't call to him, you couldn't make the mezumin. That makes it sound like Rav's Shita is Davka. When you have 3 people, you have a mezumin, but not 2 people. Shani Atam de Akvau Lehu Bechova. You don't have a proof from there, right? He was there, Dakvau Lehu Bechova Beikara. He was there initially. So he was a part of making them obligated originally, and therefore he must be a part of the mezumin, right? But if they were just 2 people originally and they never had the chova, they would still have the reshut to do it by themselves. Only if they started with 3, they can't go less than that. Ela, this time to Rabbi Yochanan. So really hold it's Rabbi Yochanan. That says the 2 people can't make a mezumin. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, 2 people eating together, 1 person can be yotze, his friend's bracha. But let's look into that idea. My kamashmalan, what is Rabbi Yochanan teaching us here? Lo tanina shema velo ana yotza. Didn't we already teach in a braita that if you heard someone make a bracha and you didn't answer amen, you can be yotze?
So we know that one person could be yotze another person's bracha. Even if he didn't make say amen, he could be yotze another person's bracha. That's a brayta. What's Rabbi Yochanan doing teaching me this? It's not a chiddush. But Rabbi Zeira
says this is what Rabbi Yochanan meant to teach you. Lomar she'en birkat azimun b'nehem. Rabbi Zeira says, Rabbi Yochanan was teaching you, yeah, one person can be yotze, the other person's bracha, but they still don't have a zimun such that it constitutes they're all making a bracha together. In which case, it would seem like Rabbi Yochanan's shita is two people can't make a zimun. Tistayim, yeah, learn from there, that is actually Rabbi Yochanan's shita. That's how we know the machloket. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds they can't make a zimun. Rav says they can make a zimun. Amale Rav Barav Huna la Rav Huna. The Harabanan da Atum Rava, Amri Im Ratzu Zamun Zamnin, my love the Shamadun Rabbi Yochanan. But wait, the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael said that they are allowed, if some two people want to make a bracha, want to make a mezumin, they're allowed to. So wouldn't you assume that they learned that from Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan was the gadol in Eretz Yisrael. That's probably Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Lo, d'shmiyadu mirav, makmi d'nachi l'bavel. Rav used to live in Israel. They heard it from Rav before he went to Bavel. Gufa, let's talk about something we mentioned earlier. Amar Rav Dimi bar Yosef Amar Rav. Shlosh shechol echad v'yatze echad mem l'shuk korin lo u'mizamnim olav. Right, we said earlier that if three people eat together and one of them goes outside, you're allowed to call to him and say, "Hey, we're gonna make a mezumin. Great, I can hear you." Okay, so one of them, so you make the mezumin, and the other guy calls from the field. That's only if the guy responded. Right, just the fact that he's there listening isn't enough. He needs to actually answer. And by the way, that's only the case if it was three people making a mezumin. Aval basara adenaiti. However, if you had 10 people, then you can't make it while he's outside and just have him answer. He actually needs to come back in the room. Matkiv la Rav Ashi, adarabba, ibcha b'stabra. Rav Ashi challenged that on a logical basis, because really the opposite seems to make much more sense. Teisha nirka asara, shnayim ein nirka kishlosha. 9 looks a lot more like 10, meaning the difference between 9 and 10 is much less significant than the difference between 2 and 3. 9 is basically, 9 is very, very close to 10. It almost looks like 10. It's very small. It's 10%. The difference between 2 and 3 is very, very significant. So, if you want to tell me that one of them works and one of them doesn't, you should say that the one where the difference is less significant, by 9 and 10 it works, and the difference when the difference is more significant, 2 and 3, it doesn't work. But the halacha is like Marzutra, that it doesn't work by 10, but it does work by 3. My time, why would that be the case? Because by 10, you have to say Shem Shemayim. Right? When you say Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, it's not appropriate to do that less than 10 people. Amar Abayin Akdinim Shnayim Shachul Gechad Mitzvah Lichalik. Right? So if two people who ate together, it's appropriate for them each to say their own bracha and not have one person make a bracha on behalf of both of them. Tanin Amiyachi, similar to Dan Nebraita, Shnayim Shachul Gechad Mitzvah Lichalik. Right? Through two people eat together, it's Rahway for each of them to make their own bracha, made from Amurim, Kishneim Sofri. Right? That's when they both know how to make a bracha. Valachat Sofer Vechad Pur, but one of them knows to make a bracha, and the other one is an ignoramus, Sofer Vvarech Pur Yotze. So you should have the one who knows to make the bracha, make a bracha on behalf of both of them. Amar Rava. Ha Milta Amrita Ana Vitmara Mishmei De Revizera Kavati. The following matter I stated, and it was said in Rabbi Zera's name in accordance with my shita. Let's say you have 3 people eating together. 2 of them are ready to bench. Those 2 can make the last guy stop eating for the sake of answering their mizumin. But if one of them is ready to bench, he can't make the other 2 stop eating. But didn't Rav Papa stop for his son, even though it was Rav Papa and another guy who was still eating, but his son wanted to stop? Shani Rav Papa, the Lifnim Mishur didn't know the Abid. Yeah, Rav Papa didn't have to do that. He did it anyway. It's not that you're not allowed to do it. He just can't make you. Rav Papa wanted to do something nice for his son, so he stopped eating for a second. Yehuda bar Maremar, Umar bar Rav Ashi, Rav Acha Midifti, Karche Rifta Behadi Hadami. These 3 Rabbanim were eating together. Lo Havahu, Chad Dava Muflag Mechavero, Lebruchilu. Right? So, and there was none of them that were more important than the other. They're all in relatively similar statures. Yadli v'kami ba'ilu haditnan shlosh sha'achlu ke'echad chayavin l'zamein hanimili hecha de'ika adam gadol aval hecha de'chi hadade ninhu chiluk brachot adif. So, they came to the following conclusion. That which is said, that when 3 people are eating together, one person should really get up and make the bracha on behalf of everyone through the mezumin. That's talking about when one person is like ra'ui l'kavod. This person deserves to be respected above everyone else, and therefore he makes the bracha. But the 3 of us, we're all equals here. So it seems sensible that we should all make our own brachas, because making your own bracha, as we said earlier, is preferable.
So let's just all make our own brachas. Baruch inish l'nafshe. Right? So each one made their own bracha. They didn't make a mezumen. Atuluk, because they had no one to be mechabed. They're all on the same level. Atuluk came to Meremar. Then they came to Meremar. Amar lehu, yedei bracha yatzatem, yedei zimun lo yatzatem. Okay, you're yotzei your bracha, shkoyach, but you weren't yotzei mezumen. That's not what you should have done. You should have had just one of you arbitrarily take it. V'chitimru, nihadar v'nizman, ein zimun l'mafreya. Unless you say, oi, we should go back and make a mezumen. No, there's no mezumen after Birkat HaMazon. You missed your opportunity. Ba'u matzan shen bevarchin, ma'u omer achareihem. If you walked in while someone was making a mezumen, what do you answer? Meaning you're not part of the mezumen because you didn't eat, but you walked in the middle while they were making a mezumen. Razvid amar baruch mvarach. You should say baruch mvarach. Rav Papa amar one amen. Rav Papa says you should just answer amen. Velo pligi. They're actually not having a machloket. Hadeshkachinu deka amri nevarach. Hadeshkachinu deka amri baruch. Meaning, you walked in at different stages. They're not having a machloket, they're just talking about different stages of the mezumen that you walked in on. Eshechinu d'gamri nevarech. If you walked in while they were saying, nevarech, omer baruch umvarach, then you respond saying, baruch umvarach, that God should be blessed and his name should be blessed. Eshechinu d'gamri baruch. But if you walked in when they were saying, baruch, one amen, then you just answer amen. Tani chada, right? One Tanaic statement said as follows. Ha'one amen achar begadav arizim mishubach. If you say amen after your own bracha, that is praiseworthy. Tanida, a different bright to taught. Harezi Meguna, it's detestable to do that. Lo kashe, this is not difficulty. Hababoni Yerushalayim, Habashah Bracha. One is saying Amen after Bonei Yerushalayim, which if you notice, we say Amen to our own Bracha there. And the other is talking about all the other brachot, which you do not. The reason, by the way, that we say amen after our own bracha there is to indicate that we're done with the deoraita bracha. Because even though there's a fourth bracha of atova ameitiv, that's not on a deoraita level. In which case, we want to make an indication of separation between the deoraita brachot and the non-deoraita, the derabanan bracha. So we say amen as a kind of an ending place. Right? Abaye anile bekala. Abaye would say amen to his own bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim very loudly. Right, so that the poalim, the workers, would hear that he was done benching, and then they could, I mean, he was making a bracha on behalf of the poalim. That's the assumption that we're making, and then they would go back to work. With the poalim, we're always sensitive that workers are gezel zman. They're being paid by the hour, then they really shouldn't be stopping for too long. So Abaye would say amen out loud, so they'd know when he was done with the ikar part of Birkat HaMazon, and therefore they can get back to work. Atov ameitiv lav deoraita, and he wouldn't make them stick around for atov ameitiv because it's not deoraita. Rav Ashi ani lei bechalsha, and Rav Ashi would say amen very quietly. Keichad lo nizalzlu beatov ameitiv. He didn't want people to belittle the significance of atov ameitiv. It's a bracha, sure, it's not deoraita. But if I say amen very loudly and everyone's going to get up right when I'm done and think that we're done benching, we're not done benching. We still have a tov ameitiv. By the way, this distinction between the bracha being deoraita or derabanan is, I wouldn't say the source, but the svara behind the minhag of the gra, that the minhag of the gra is to bench up to Aliyah Hasreinu and perhaps include some of the harachamans. But he doesn't say a tov ameitiv because the bracha is not deoraita. The gra didn't want to waste any time. The workers don't want to waste any time to go back to work. The gra was going back to learn Torah, in which case he only said the deoraita bracha and he stopped there.